Turn in your Bibles to the Epistle of Jude. The Epistle of Jude. We are continuing our series in the evening on the godly pursuit of biblical reformation. And this evening we're going to look again at the politics of reformation, but this time we're going to talk about the evil of cowardice and compromise in the church and the ministry as one of the primary reasons for the apostasy of the church and the nation over the last several generations. We're going to talk about the tragic and very sinful and ungodly compromise that is made by the church today by both evangelical and reformed pastors with the secular and anti-Christian agenda that is promoted by the political establishment, fake news media, and the forces of Antichrist that are barely ever mentioned in churches today. As I said, largely because of cowardice and political correctness and the increasing apostasy. This is a further argument from Scripture showing the necessity of ministers and Christian leaders to promote reformation in politics and civil government, Christ's lordship and dominion over all things. And it has a significant influence on the church and the lives of believers, let me say. So over the last 2 weeks, we saw from Psalm 2 and hundreds of other passages from Scripture, the preaching of Christ's sovereignty, even over politics, government, and society, is an essential part of biblical reformation. To warn the church and believers of the evils of idolatry and false religion, as well as political ideologies and public policies that are corrupt, that are ungodly, that have vast influence on American culture and society, vast influence on the world. Now, we saw before how this is true from 10 points of doctrine, the importance of preaching Christ's sovereignty in and over politics and government. We saw it from the authority of Scripture, the duty of faithful preaching, the claims of Christ's lordship, the abiding validity of the law of God, the command of the Great Commission, the calling of civil magistrates under the authority of God, the testimony of church history, the establishment of law and order in a nation, the preservation of liberty and justice, as well as the necessity of national reformation. All of these are scriptural grounds and reasons why it is the solemn duty of pastors and Christian leaders to preach and to promote Christ's sovereignty in and over politics, in government, in culture, in society, with regard to moral issues, social issues, and also public policies. To promote biblical reformation in all things, as well as to warn the church and God's people of the evils of sin and idolatry, the destructive influence public policy and politics has on the church and the Christian life. I couldn't be clearer in expounding in the Old Testament and the New Testament what the prophets and apostles together preached with regard to Christ's sovereignty. But this evening, as well as next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at the same issue from a negative viewpoint. Why aren't pastors and Christian leaders being faithful to Christ and His Word today? Why is there such a degree of cowardice in which pastors don't bring up these subjects at all in church and in the preaching of the Word? Why do they compromise the Word of God to liberal idolaters, to the demonic party of the left, to the fake news media and the political establishment in Washington? Because it's not only embarrassing, it is scandalous. Scandalous to the church and the ministry of the word. There are evangelical and reformed churches throughout the nation that have no problem with people in their churches and partaking in communion with them who support and promote political views and public policies that are entirely demonic. They promote the works of the devil and of Antichrist. How is that possible? How is it possible for Christians, for pastors and Christian leaders to think that Christ and the gospel have nothing to do with political issues, moral issues, social issues, public policy? How can they think that Christ's sovereignty has nothing to do with the promoting of the most diabolical evils in our society? Very simply, how is it possible that evangelical reformed churches do not condemn liberal theology and the whole demonic party of the left and bar such from communion? How can so many pastors and Christian leaders today throughout the nation be so blinded by hypocrisy, moral depravity, greed, covetousness, and political correctness? Well, we're going to talk about this tonight and next week, Lord willing, because we're talking here about the apostasy of the church and the downgrade of faithful preaching as it respects to Christ's lordship and sovereignty over politics, over society, over moral issues of the day. And so we're going to look at the several reasons and snares why so many pastors and Christian leaders today are silent on such important issues about politics and social issues that everybody in their church talks about during the week or even on the Lord's Day. Important, because in truth, these are all obstacles in the way of biblical reformation. If pastors and Christian leaders aren't speaking the truth and expounding Scripture with all of these issues, abortion, homosexual agenda, globalism, the demonic party and their whole agenda, feminism, and all just the whole evils that are widespread in this progressive agenda, why they don't speak about it? And so we're going to talk about that. And Lord willing, afterwards, I'm going to follow that up with an overview of the feminization of the church and the corrupting influence that this has on as an obstacle to biblical reformation. I have a point on that subject next week, but I want to speak about that even in greater detail. So this evening, we're going to look at the larger picture of the various obstacles in the way to biblical reformation as a result of the spiritual downgrade and apostasy of the church with respect to politics. The cowardice of compromise. The cowardice of spiritual compromise on account of apostasy. So turn in your Bibles to the letter of Jude. We're going to read the whole book of Jude, one chapter, and basically expound on the most important truths from this letter. Jude writes, saying this, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual morality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the air of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time, who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Now notice closely that the letter of Jude is a short sermon, an apologetic. It centers upon God's wrath and judgment upon false teachers, those who pervert the gospel by a theology of cheap grace, who promote rebellion against the lordship of Christ and pervert the gospel. Jude's description of apostasy and wickedness here in the church is exactly as we see in many churches today and certainly throughout the nation. And so Jude issues a call for believers to earnestly contend for the faith in a time of apostasy. It's therefore prophetic of the last times when apostasy abounds in the church and both government and society become perverted by idolatry, false religion, sexual morality, and the corrupting influences of false teachers. And so this is what we're going to talk about this evening in relationship to the compromise of cowardice that we often see in evangelical reformed churches, the unwillingness to preach on political and moral issues. You see the apostasy and spiritual downgrade, the tragic silence there is. We're going to talk about the apostasy of the church over the last generation and how that has significantly contributed to the spread of sin, idolatry, political policy, polytheism, and the demonic policies of the Liberal Democratic Party, the anti-Christian agenda of all of American liberal democracy. And we should never be fooled. This has a vast influence, a very destructive influence on the church and Christian families. We all know Christian families who are, of course, subverted, children who have completely been subverted by the progressive movement, apostate, ungodly, and have, as it were, gone after the works of the devil in our community. I've warned them. Warned them publicly everywhere, and yet still deaf and dumb. There is a close connection with the church's apostasy over the last century and the present circumstances in American culture and politics and all the abominations of modern society, abortion, homosexuality, feminism, globalism, the old Democratic Party of the last, a tool of the devil. How is it possible, though, this very day in our nation is in such a national crisis? Even though President Trump has won to office and there's such silence, how is that possible? The cowardice and compromise of so many, when the clear testimony of Scripture is we're to be faithful to preach Christ's word, his doctrine, his sovereignty, that he is exalted as Lord over all. Well, in Romans 1:18, Paul says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And that's one of the reasons why we see such silence. How is it possible evangelical reformed churches are largely silent with regard to all the evils and abominations of the nation today? Right, the whole liberal demonic agenda, all the fake news media, the conspiracy and corruption of the Obama administration before and crooked Hillary Clinton, this secularism, paganism, homosexuality, the corruption and wickedness of the public school system, the universities, the widespread evil of drug abuse and drug addiction, the evils of illegal immigration, human trafficking, the cover-ups that are even now being investigated by the Attorney General should land hundreds of demonic Democrats in jail, if not executed, for treachery. The manifold evils and abominations of the fake news media, all their lies spoken in deceit and hypocrisy, and evangelical reformed pastors are largely silent. That's tragic. Because even though President Trump and his administration has done a lot, the nation is still today in large measure influenced by the whole establishment. Atheists, secularists, idolaters, blasphemers, Sabbath breakers, feminists, murderers, abortionists, adulterers, thieves, liars, and otherwise morally depraved and incompetent people. Thieves, frauds, cheats. And the difficulty of rooting them out in Washington and local politics It's rooting out the works of the devil. The Democratic Party and the machinery of the news media and the university, the whole political establishment, is nothing but a tool of the devil. And pastors and Christian leaders need to be faithful to tell the truth. Atheism, idolatry, false religion, and political correctness is still widespread in American culture, influencing not only every aspect of politics and government, courts, schools, media, entertainment, the marketplace, private businesses, everywhere you go in the nation. False gods are promoted, and the damnable evils of American liberal democracy because of the progressive agenda. There's not just a culture war. We are on the verge of a real civil war. The Trump administration tries to establish a degree of law and order to maintain a degree of Christian values in the midst of a culture that is entirely in rebellion against God. Because of the onslaught of this demonic leftist movement that began in the 60s, right? American exceptionalism has become increasingly a vast American paganism. The Redeemer nation has become tragically a reprobate nation. To make America great again, you may need to make it, you have to make it righteous again, Protestant again, Reformed again. Right? And yet, thousands of pastors, teachers, and Christian leaders throughout the nation are silent with regard to all of this. Even after 2 years of the Trump administration, all the good that has been done to root out the vast degree of corruption, the political correctness, the evils, and the idolatry promoted by the Obama administration, still, pastors and Christian leaders, in many ways, are silent. Even Reformed pastors who supposedly believe in the Reformed confessions, supposedly believe in the Westminster Confession and Christ's Lordship. How is it possible that there exists such an unbelievably perverse separation of church and state, preaching and politics, Christ's sovereignty and the nation's idolatry? How is it that apostate and ungodly godly churches today are filled with people wanting to hear smooth things, shallow sermons, profane stories, or simple sermons that only lead to the same outcome? Further apostasy and their children's rebellion against God. I see it everywhere. Evangelical, Reformed Baptist, Presbyterian, PCA, OPC. The truth of God is being suppressed today through churches by pastors and Christian leaders. They're suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. They're suppressing the truth of Christ's sovereignty, the abiding validity of the law of God, the truth of God's hatred and condemnation of the works of the devil that you see in modern liberal democracy. And yet, week by week, pastors and Christian leaders are silent, unwilling to preach anything about Christ's sovereignty, to rebuke the nation, the rulers of their wickedness, the whole demonic party, to give counsel, instruction, encouragement to the Trump administration on rooting out all the evil, putting him in jail, and suppressing the ungodly. That's what Romans 13 is about. The civil magistrate is to be a minister of God for good, to punish the wicked. And that's what President Trump and the government should do. And not fear this liberal democracy, this so-called abomination of, oh, that's a hate crime. That's a crime against God, not to prosecute God's justice against the idolaters and the wicked. You know, it's tragic as even this past week, Banner of Truth held their annual preaching conference in the UK. Next month, the same conference will be held in the US on the East Coast. The topic is actually on the Holy Spirit. It's a very sad fact that the sermons and lectures given were entirely soft, shallow, effeminate, superficial, and they showed no godly discernment. No godly discernment at all over the pressing issues of the church and the need for biblical reformation. The UK is being totally subverted by political correctness, idolatry, wickedness, and the influence of Islam. And these Reformed pastors are preaching 30 to 40 minute sermons that are nowhere near the quality. Just read John Owen on the work of the Holy Spirit. Preach something relevant to today's issues. It's tragic. There was not a single sermon on the Holy Spirit with regard to revival, reformation, the conviction of sin, the overthrow of idolatry. Nothing on the pressing matters of the church today and biblical reformation, which is arguably the most important thing in the Bible about the Holy Spirit. Jesus says when the Holy Spirit comes, he will what? Convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. It's the duty of ministers to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Not to give these effeminate, soft sermons on Christian nurture from the Holy Spirit to a, and this was a body of ministers. Let me tell you, the level of these sermons was more like for 10-year-olds to 15-year-olds in my understanding. No godly discernment, no courage of conviction. When it comes to faithfully preaching the gospel and promoting biblical reformation, pastors are to be discerning of the times, faithful to the truth of God, willing to confront the pressing issues of the days as well as the sins and abominations of society that work to destroy the church and undermine the lives of believers. And I can think of several men there whose families are subverted by homosexuality, paganism, feminism, on the road to apostasy and unbelief. And they are completely blind. They're completely blind. They're not saying anything about the work of the Holy Spirit bringing conviction, righteousness, and judgment. No one is convicted or brought to saving faith in Christ without being convicted by the Holy Spirit preaching against sin, idolatry, false religion, and political ideologies. They will go to hell believing lies from the devil, from the fake news, CNN, or the political establishment. They will go to hell. Timothy Dwight, therefore, said, during the Enlightenment, when a lot of these things were on the rise, he says, those who are silent when it comes to the sins and idolatries of the nation are themselves complicit in the sins and idolatries of the nation and will receive the same judgment upon them who practice them. That was during the Enlightenment. And let me tell you, Thomas Paine, Benjamin Franklin, and the Enlightenment pagans were a lot more civil than the demonic Democrats, right? I mean, there's really a great difference now. But this is what Jude is warning in his letter to the churches on the importance of defending the faith and at the same time exposing the evil influence of false teachers. Idolatry, false religion, the abominations of the culture under God's judgment, the reasons why God executes his wrath and judgment on the ungodly, whether it's politics, society, culture, the church, or the family, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. So why is it that so many pastors and Christian leaders today seem so liberal and ungodly in their views to say, so cowardly? Because this is what we're going to talk about this morning and next week, Lord willing. It's tragic, but most churches and denominations are slowly going the road to apostasy because of this. It is true. I see it in their families. I see it in their children. A generation headed for judgment and apostasy because pastors and Christian leaders are subverted by false doctrine and too cowardly not to speak the truth, not to preach the whole counsel of God. The Bible repeatedly warns of the sin and snare of cowardice. In Proverbs 29, verse 5, Solomon says, the fear of man is a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. In Luke 9, 26, Jesus said to the disciples, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory, in the glory of his Father and the holy angels. We cannot be ashamed of the truth, right? Nor ashamed of Christ. And the fact that God's wrath is revealed from heaven against ungodliness, false religion, idolatry, and political ideologies that are contrary to the gospel. In Revelation 21, verse 8, John says, the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars have their portion in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And notice what's first on the list. The cowardly. Cowardice is a great sin. In Leviticus 26, the Lord warns of the danger of judgment that he threatens to bring upon a disobedient and unreformed people. You remember? He says, if you will not be reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you, and I will punish you 7 times for your sins. Well, notice in verse 36 through 39, he goes on to say, and particularly to identify, cowardice as a mark of God's judgment upon a disobedient and unreformed people. Notice what Moses says. He says, and as for those of you who are left, I will send faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. The sound of a shaken leaf shall cause them to flee. They shall flee as though fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when no one pursues. They shall stumble over one another as if it were before a sword, when no one pursues them. You shall have no power to stand before your enemies. You shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall utterly eat you up. And those of you who are left shall waste away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands and under their hands. And you know what? This is sadly what is happening to many churches, many denominations, many Christian families. They're being eaten up and destroyed by cowardice and the corrupting influences of idolatry and false religion in a wicked and ungodly culture. Why? Generally, they don't believe in the lordship of Christ. They don't believe in the authority of Scripture. They don't believe in God's judgment against sin and idolatry. They don't believe, really, in biblical reformation, the abiding void of the law of God. They don't believe the importance of the faithful preaching of the gospel. They're easily offended by biblical preaching. Right? They don't like to hear sermons condemning sin, idolatry, and false religion. And they don't believe it's the duty of ministers to rebuke political correctness, the fake news media, or the demonic influences in the state and society. Instead, they want a church that has 30 to 40 minutes of a nurturing sermon that'll speak smooth things, and then they can go home and listen to political pundits that are not believers. Whether it's Savage, Rush Limbaugh, or others. Because they're not preaching about God's wrath and judgment on the wicked. It's politics. It's about winning and losing the next election. Right? Do you see how corrupting that is? No. Sadly, because of all these evils, the children of Christian parents often go astray and fall headlong into the culture of corruption and false religion by the time they're in high school or college. Right? We see it in our culture and society, right here in the community. Cowardice as well as idolatry and false religion are a corrupting influence on the church and a major obstacle, not only to salvation, but to biblical reformation. Listen, Athanasius said, to sin by silence makes cowards out of men and false teachers out of those who would otherwise should be faithful ministers of Christ. John Chrysostom said, a man without courage cannot long remain godly or virtuous, for he is unable to resist vice and easily compromises with the wicked. John Calvin said, there can be no courage in men unless God supports them by his word and spirit. And therefore, cowardice is certainly the fruit of false doctrine and disobedience to God. Right? So notice, I read Jude, but notice what Calvin says, because it is the main theme for tonight and next week. There can be no courage in men unless God supports them by his word and spirit. And therefore, cowardice is what? It is certainly the fruit of false doctrine and disobedience to God. And this is what we sadly see in the church today. Evangelical Reformed pastors, a cowardice and effeminacy that is born by false doctrine and disobedience to God because of a culture of apostasy in the church. And this is all Reformed denominations. Even among those so-called Reformed Presbyterians that supposedly believe in the Westminster Confession, they supposedly believe, right, in Christ's sovereignty over government. And you never hear them. I never hear them. They're not saying, they don't say much. I mean, a couple of them do. Many of them just are completely silent. What we see in the church and the nation today is very sad. It's very destructive to the church. It is very destructive to Christian families. And so, you know, we're going to be straightforward. I know very well the pathology of sin and idolatry in the church today. The fear of man, cowardice, false religion, the evil heart of unbelief in so many Christian leaders. sadly, many pastors and Christian leaders turning away from the fight and battle in our day against secularism, against the battle against idolatry, compromising, turning inward. And that is a danger to the church and to their families. The apostasy of evangelical reform politics has been growing over the last century to the point now that churches and pastors are all but on the way. Right? When it comes to preaching Christ's sovereignty, they're all on the way to the apostasy. They've forsaken their duty to preach the Ten Commandments, to expose sin and idolatry, political ideologies and the corruptions, completely opposed to what the express word of Jesus Christ is, that the Holy Spirit, when He comes, will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. It's the duty of faithful pastors. The kind of preaching and teaching of Christ's lordship and against sin and idolatry and culture that was central to the early church, central to the days of Constantine and Theodosius, central to the Reformation, to the Puritan Revolution, to the Great Awakening that even sparked the American Revolution, and the great preaching during the American Revolution is now almost entirely foreign in the church today. Election sermons, cannonball sermons, right? Fast sermons to Parliament that the Puritan ministers preached in Parliament at the time when the Westminster Assembly was convened. They're all absent. Bible conferences of the Reformed Baptist kind, the Presbyterian kind, Banner of Truth, there is none of them. And when PCA, OPC, and Reformed Presbyterian churches meet for their General Assembly, they rarely talk about this at all. The most pressing issue in the nation today, the most important doctrinal truth as related to their preaching, Christ's lordship and sovereignty, the preaching against sin of righteousness and in judgment, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, they fail. Why is that? Why are pastors and Christian leaders in all the denominations then so liberal, cowardly? Now, the book of Jude directly addresses this problem. Because the gospel that is preached today, that is believed by many Christians today, is a corrupted gospel based on a theology of cheap grace. It doesn't say anything about Christ's sovereign authority. It doesn't say anything about God's wrath upon sin and idolatry, the evils and abominations of political polytheism, the wickedness of other cultures that are not Christian, the worship of pagan gods. Everybody's driven by political correctness. Right? They don't say anything about the abiding validity of the law of God or the necessity of repentance. And they don't expose the evils of false religion or the deviant forms of Christianity today that corrupt the gospel. That's what it is. And so most churches are all about cheap grace, short sermons, shallow lectures, man-centered forms of worship and fellowship, and a whole lot of cowardice and effeminacy, as well as a lot of covetousness, selfish ambition, and middle-class idolatry. That is really what it is. It's in the Reformed seminaries today, tragically. But I believe the state of the nation, the apostasy and spiritual downgrade of the church, is likely going to get worse over the next decade unless there's revival and reformation. And nothing will prevent it from happening but true repentance and reformation. President Trump and his administration can only do so much to stop the tide of the demonic influence of the left, their wickedness, the fake news media, the conspiracies, the ungodliness, by executive orders, law enforcement, good policies, or by the attorney general, right? Prosecuting God's justice upon the wicked. The problem with the nation, though, is it's not just the liberals and the secularists, right? The greatest problem with the nation, apostasy, the spiritual downgrade that we see, is in evangelical reformed pastors who have abandoned Christ's lordship and the faithful preaching of the gospel. This kind of bankrupt teaching has promoted over the last several generations in American society idolaters, blasphemers, Sabbath breakers, adulterers, homosexuals, liars, thieves, even in churches. So there are seven things we want to look at from the book of Jude that helps explain the cowardice and compromise of so many pastors and Christian leaders. We're going to look tonight and next week at 7 points. The distortion of Christ's lordship, the rejection of God's law and commandments, the influence of a corrupt theology of cheap grace, the downgrade of biblical preaching and apologetics, the accommodation to secularism and political correctness, the feminization of the church and the ministry, and the evil influence of materialism and covetousness. 7 points. These are the several most important reasons for the cowardice and compromise of so many evangelical reformed pastors and why they remain silent on those pressing political and moral issues of the day. Now, there could be many, but it's enough for seven. You know, we're going to talk about three tonight after a long introduction, and then, Lord willing, next week, four. But I had a conversation recently with a godly Christian woman who asked me why pastors never talk about politics from the pulpit, even though she says that the Democrat Party is such a work of the devil. How is it that, Pastor Brett, that no pastors preach except you? And I gave her basically a summary of 7 points. And she was astonished. She thought, well, should I leave my church? No, no. No, you go to a pretty decent Reformed church where you are. But encourage your pastor and leaders about this truth. Give them a summary and tell them, I'm praying for you that you have the courage and conviction to talk about, preach on this. If you can't preach, then at least teach Bible study or Sunday school to open that up first. A Reformed church? Never heard it? This is common. It's common throughout the nation. It is cowardice born out of spiritual apostasy from the truth and the fact that so many pastors today fear man, fear persecution, fear losing members, fear losing their salary. They fear man instead of God. And so they compromise with the growing secular and liberal agenda in America by silence. And many churches just allow liberal Democrats who promote abortion, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, crooked Hillary Clinton, all the corruption, the abominations, the frauds, the cheats, the fake news media, they just continue to allow them in the church. I hear this in sermons in our own communion. Well, we shouldn't be evangelical reformed churches. Well, we shouldn't be divided over politics. Right? There's good and bad on both sides. No. There is demonic influence on the Democrat side. Even on the Republican side in the establishment, there are a tool of the devil. Why can't pastors tell the truth? Cowards. Total cowards. Well, let's look at the several reasons why this is so. Cowardice has taken over the church and the ministry because of spiritual apostasy. First of all, they have a distorted view of the gospel and of Christ's lordship. The first mark and evidence of cowardice and apostasy today in the church and why pastors are silent about political and moral issues is because they don't believe in Christ's lordship and sovereignty. They have a false and distorted view of the gospel, of the person of Jesus Christ, the resurrection, and his lordship over all the world. Notice how Jude here in his letter writes against the apostasy of the church and its rejection of Christ's lordship. He says, I write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints, for certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Greek, Jude is saying they deny the lordship of Christ. And therefore, they promote wickedness, abominations, Hellenistic culture, antinomianism, idolatry. They deny the sovereignty and lordship of Jesus Christ. This is the very nature of apostasy in the church today. And this is why pastors, Christian leaders aren't preaching the truth. This is why they're silent about the most pressing moral, theological, and political issues of the day. This is why they allow Democrats and utterly blasphemous heathen in the church and in communion. They don't believe in the lordship of Christ. They don't believe that Christ is raised from the dead and exalted to the right hand of God the Father with power and sovereignty. Because if they did, they would preach against the corrupting influences of idolatry and false religion in the nation, just as Jude says. They would preach against the demonic nature of the liberal agenda. It's the solemn duty of pastors to faithfully preach the absolute claims of Christ's sovereignty to expose sin and idolatry that is contrary to His glory, His majesty, His holiness. We saw this in the testimony and command of Psalm 2, prophecy of Christ's enthronement, that because God has exalted His Son over all principality and power, He commands all kings and rulers to submit to His Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord of the nations. In verse 10 through 12, "Now therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges and rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice. With trembling kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish in the way when His wrath is kindled against you but a little." For what? Sin, crime, idolatry, false religion. Tolerating the most wicked and ungodly idolatries in culture. But blessed are those who put their trust in Him. That is the biblical platform of godly civil government. And for pastors and Christian leaders to be silent makes them complicit with sin and idolatry. And that's why, if you look carefully, pastors, Christian leaders who are silent often are punished by God and His providence in their families. They're led astray. Right? Jesus Christ is Lord. Magistrates are to submit to Him and His doctrine and authority. Ministers are to be faithful to exalt Christ's glory, His sovereignty over the world. In Matthew 28, when Jesus appeared to the disciples after His resurrection, He said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and disciple the nations. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Right? When Christ's authority is challenged by Caesar's, when Christ's word and doctrine is challenged by a culture, when truth and righteousness are challenged by an ungodly culture, we choose Christ. We obey God, not man, Peter says in Acts. We preach Christ. Christ crucified, Christ glorified. He is the Lord, and He holds our allegiance. Paul says in Ephesians 1, "God raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and over every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come." Christ's lordship and dominion is over all the nations, as well as over all civil powers and governments. He has a sovereign claim over the world. That is what not only the prophets of the Old Testament, but the apostles preached in the New Testament. Revelation 1:5. John says, "Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn over the dead, and the ruler over all the kings of the earth." To deny that, not to preach it, not to warn of the evils and abominations that are influenced by the denial of that, leads to apostasy. It's cowardice, a false doctrine, a denial of Christ's lordship and sovereignty. Jesus Christ exalted the throne of God. He has an absolute claim over all of life, including civil magistrates, governments, politics. It's by Him that kings reign. The decrees are made. He is to be acknowledged as Lord. And even though we may live in a constitutional republic, we do not compromise what the Scripture says about Jesus' lordship. No, especially ministers. Especially ministers who are called and commissioned to preach Christ's lordship and sovereignty over the world. That's why the apostles were persecuted. John Calvin said, "All good government is subservient to Christ's rule and government and further serves the interests of His glory and kingdom." So civil rulers are to rule in obedience to His laws in the light of His word and doctrine because He has a sovereign claim. And it's the duty of ministers to advise, to counsel magistrates, men in government with respect to politics, public policy, and issues. Right, we saw that's one of the main themes in the book of Acts. There's a distinctly political design to Luke's record, which shows that Christ is preached as Lord from Jerusalem to Rome. The gospel is the conservatory of commonwealths and the blessing of nations. And the book of Acts was written to demonstrate the gospel of Christ and the church is not a threat to the Roman Empire or good government, but a blessing. So while the apostles preached Christ's lordship, they were not revolutionaries, they were not insurrectionists. They were reformers. The gospel is the source of godly rule, civil justice, true freedom, reformation. The gospel brings righteousness and peace to society. And when ministers are unfaithful to that charge, they are compromising the truth, and they become, like Calvin says, cowards without courage. Cowards without courage. And you know, therefore, the modern church's view of Jesus Christ is very liberal and minimalist. And it's one of the main reasons for the present apostasy in the nation. You know, because most pastors and Christian leaders today have very shallow and carnal views of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And you can see that coming up with the resurrection. You know, that's what comes up. You have the Easter Bunny and all the profane idolatries, the foolishness. And you typically have the shallow sermon about Jesus' resurrection is for you to have a new and happy life in his love. Well, that's true, praise the Lord. But it's never different. There's never the resurrection and Christ's lordship. Right? John Knox said, it is unbelief, it is idolatry and false religion that keeps people from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in truth, and a rebellion against him that keeps them from obeying his sovereign commands. And that's sadly what we have in a lot of the churches and denominations, that is going apostate. Because pastors are silent about political issues. They don't preach on Christ's sovereignty, his lordship. They don't preach against the idolatry of American liberal democracy. Why? Because they don't believe in the gospel of Christ's resurrection. They don't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead and exalted to the right hand of God the Father in power, sovereignty, justice. That he controls the world. He condemns the wicked and brings them to judgment. As well as the righteous on a chariot to glory. Many people don't believe that, don't understand that. Right? When people die, unbelievers, it's because of God's wrath. His patience is up. And God is glorified in the damnation of the wicked. That's the gospel truth. Could you ever think of Jonathan Edwards preaching such sermons as he did, sinners in the hands of an angry God, God glorified in the damnation of the wicked? Today, no, Reformed churches couldn't bear even to have that. I preached softer in there. Couldn't tolerate it. It's because it's a corrupted gospel. They don't really believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ as described in Scripture. In many ways, they believe and preach a different Jesus. Right? They don't believe the sovereign lordship of Jesus Christ. And maybe a lot of them do, but it's so corrupted by this effeminacy, this fear of man, this cowardice to preach the truth. Cowardice, false doctrine, not to preach the lordship of Christ over all things, and it's a snare of the devil, as well as an obstacle to biblical reformation. Well, notice secondly, antinomianism and the rejection of God's law. The second mark and evidence of cowardice, compromise in the church today, and why pastors are silent about political and moral issues is because of the influence of antinomianism. The widespread rejection of God's law as a rule of life and a standard of public justice. Sadly, you almost hear nothing about the preaching of the law of God and the Ten Commandments in the church today. And when it is preached, it's only how it applies to Christians. You know what I mean? Never how it applies to the world, that the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. How do they not see that? Romans 1 is about God's law condemning pagan society. Right? Notice how Jude here solemnly warns the church of the danger of this libertine doctrine that denies the lordship of Christ and the abiding validity of God's law. It is apostasy when the law is rejected or undermined by false teaching. In verse 4, he says these false teachers turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. In verse 5, he warns that while God redeemed Israel from Egyptian bondage, he destroyed many of them in the wilderness on account of their sin. They were disobedient to God's law. Verse 7, he speaks of Sodom and Gomorrah suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Oh, why was that? The homosexual agenda. In verse 8, he says these apostates reject authority. That is what? They reject God's authority and his commandments. Verse 9, he speaks of the dispute about the body of Moses. This, of course, was not merely the dead body of Moses and its whereabouts, but the body of divine law, the Mosaic law and God's commandments. That was under dispute. And it still is today. How many broad evangelicals say, we're not under the law. We're under grace. They totally misrepresent what Paul is saying in Romans and Galatians. Well, yeah, we're under the covenant of grace, but the law is still the rule of life. God condemns the wicked for breaking his law. The wrath of God is still revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. What do you think Romans 1 is about? The condemnation of God on the pagan world and they're breaking God's law. In verse 14, Jude therefore says that Enoch prophesied of these apostates and false teachers, saying that when Christ comes again, he will execute judgment upon them all for their ungodly deeds. What is ungodliness? What are ungodly deeds? Those that are contrary to God's righteous commandments. So you can see the compromise that is widespread in churches because of this rejection of the law of God, this rejection of the preaching of the law of God as the standard of public justice. And the reason why I say that is because I often hear Presbyterian churches or Reformed Baptist churches talk about God's commandments only in the light of piety and Christian nurture. And you know what? At least they do that. But they still blunt the sword by denying the lordship of Christ and the abiding validity, the moral law in relationship to politics, government, society, contracts, business, sports, entertainment, the family. As if to say, oh yeah, you can obey God's commandments on Sunday, and then you can go and live in disobedience to God's commandments the rest of the week. Because we don't preach the law to unbelievers. We just let them slide into a rebellion and ungodliness. How stupid can you get? And yet this is widespread in Reformed denominations. It's widespread in the dispensational world. It's widespread among Reformed Baptists. But they don't really believe that the law of God has an authority over all of Adam. All the nations who corrupt themselves and are disobedient to God's law, he punishes. He brings death, destruction, calamity, and all kinds of misery. Plagues and AIDS and fires and storms. It's like, do they not actually read the Bible? Do pastors not read the Bible and understand God's providence? No, it's tragic. Because there's a vast spiritual ignorance in evangelical and Reformed pastors with regard to that. They're vastly ignorant. William Tyndale said, aversion to the law of God shows a hatred of Christ and his sovereign authority. That may be a little strong, but that's sad. That's true. An aversion to the law of God as the rule of public justice. He's writing this to King Henry VIII. He's not writing this to the local congregation. William Tyndale is saying to Henry VIII, an aversion to the law of God shows your hatred for Christ and his sovereign authority. And you are an ungodly king. God will bring you down in death and judgment. That's what William Tyndale was saying. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warned the disciples of false teachers, therefore, who would come in and devour the church by making light of God's law. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. He says, many will come to me and say, didn't we need to prophesy in your name, do wonderful works in your name? And I say, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity, you workers of lawlessness. You never thought about the importance of the law of God to convict sinners, nor as a standard for public justice in society. You didn't care about that. And therefore, Jesus will say, I never knew you. And he'll send them straight to hell. Jesus said, do not think that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And you can see our culture and the churches, the slide to apostasy, feminism, idolatry, false religion. When you see families, Christian families brought up in evangelical Reformed churches, slide into this progressive demonic agenda, you can see exactly what Jesus is saying. Right? Their feet shall slide in due time. As Edwards quoted Deuteronomy in his sermon on sinners in the hands of an angry God, one of the clearest evidences of apostasy in the church today is the widespread denial of the abiding validity of God's law as a rule of the Christian life and the rule of public justice. And tragically, this is why the nation, as well as much of the church, is filled with idolaters, blasphemers, Sabbath breakers, murderers, those ensnared in bitterness and hatred, sexual morality, thieves, liars, deceivers. Those are covetous and materialistic. Why? They're not convicted by the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in the abiding void of the law. The Holy Spirit works to convict of sin by the preaching of the law. Right? By the law is the knowledge of sin. Any kind of preaching and teaching on the law of God or repentance, right, is often looked at today upon with scorn, derision. And that's my experience for over 25 years. People hate the law of God. They hate God's righteousness. They think that that's not part of the gospel. And that Jesus, and yet Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He who keeps my commandments is he who loves me and serves my Father. John Owen wrote, the general and undoubted reason of all sins, miscarriages, and apostasies among men in the church and in the world is the neglect of the holy and perfect rule of obedience, the law of God. John Owen was the chaplain advisor to Oliver Cromwell, the protector of England. Those were the days of Reformation, where you had ministers and magistrates united together in a common interest of pursuing Reformation, the preaching of the gospel, and the magistrates' rightful use of the law, executing judgment on the ungodly. The reason why there's such sin and idolatry and growing apostasy in the nation, the moral depravity of our culture, corruption, tyranny in politics, the greed and treachery in the news media, the Democrat Party, and even in the political establishment is because of this. Pastors and ministers are antinomian. They won't speak the truth. They are cowards. They are in the rebellion of the law of God themselves and their commission from Christ, and many of them don't even know the Ten Commandments, let alone believe that it is the rule of public justice. The Constitution, the Declaration, the Bill of Rights is not the rule of public justice. The law of God is. And until pastors overcome this cowardice and false doctrine, their feet shall slide in due time. Their families will be destroyed by this corruption, by this idolatry, by this political polytheism, this slide into feminism, abortion, homosexuality, globalism, all the cheats, the frauds, the ungodly in our culture. Matthew Henry said, Christ, who is ordained to offer himself a sacrifice for us, is authorized to give the law to us, and he will not save us unless we're at the same time willing that he should govern us. God has prepared him a throne in the heavens, and if we would have any benefit by that, we must prepare him a throne in our hearts and be willing and glad that he should sit and rule upon that throne. How does he rule? By his law. We're saved by grace. We're governed and ruled by law. And it is the duty of ministers to preach the law, not just for Christians, for growing in grace and obedience to God, but as the rule of public justice for society. And it is cowardice and false doctrine not to do so. Antinomianism is a snare of the devil as well as an obstacle to biblical reformation. And then thirdly, the influence of a false gospel and a theology of cheap grace. That's the third mark and evidence of cowardice and compromise in the church today, and why pastors are silent about preaching Christ's sovereignty, condemning the idolatry of liberal politics and all the evils and abominations. Why is it? It's the theology of cheap grace. Evangelical Reformed churches today sadly hold to a false theology of cheap grace. Not all of them, of course, but many of them. Week after week after week, sermons of just what? Christian nurture. Right now, Reformed churches would solemnly deny that. But it is, in fact, true. It's, in fact, true. PCA, OPC, RPC. It's in fact true. This sad doctrine of nurture, preaching is without conviction, without condemnation, without rebuke, is widespread. Listen to Jude. He says, I write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, false teachers who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, and they deny the lordship, the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. Notice here, Jude warns the church of the danger of those who pervert the grace of God, who cheapen it by false doctrine, sinful practices, and by giving people false hopes and empty promises based on lies. Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You can stay in your pattern of idolatry. You can stay in your political views. This is common throughout evangelical reformed denominations. It's a total lie, right? They reject God's word. They reject the gospel. They reject the Holy Spirit's work to bring them out of sin, false doctrine, idolatry, and the abominable evils that God promised and threatens to condemn and cast people into hell. And this is what we see widespread throughout churches. Not just the cults, not just Roman Catholics, but even in those who profess to be evangelical and reformed. They speak of saving grace, the doctrines of grace, justification by faith alone, election, predestination. But they reject the sovereignty of Christ and his lordship and the rule of God's law in society. And most of the people today who even confess to be reformed or Calvinistic around here actually are very liberal and worldly, being completely subverted by a theology of cheap grace. The apostasy of the church is so deep. And this is largely, of course, because of the fake Calvinism of the movement that started in the 80s, influenced by neo-orthodoxy, Karl Barth, C.S. Lewis, the fake Calvinism that you often see in Tim Keller and John Piper, and all of this, where they preach grace, redemption, forgiveness, not ever about repentance and the law of God. Never condemning the sin and idolatry of the demonic culture that we live in. Oh, and never bringing up politics. As a matter of fact, I know very well that there are liberal Democrats that promote abortion, homosexual, all of that in their churches. Some of them in leadership. That's shocking. That's wickedness. The apostasy of the church is so deep, they think they're actually reformed. They're not even saved. There's no real conviction of sin. There's no detestation of the abominations of the world. There's no spiritual discernment of the ungodly culture we live in. There's no godly pursuit of reformation. There's a compromise with middle-class American idolatry and aversion to the true gospel. That's a dead faith based on intellectual assent, let me tell you. And it's widespread throughout denominations. What is the gospel of cheap grace? Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without repentance, faith without obedience, baptism without church discipline, communion without the confession of sin, grace and mercy without self-denial and obedience to Christ's commandments. It's a false grace. It is a grace that is completely devoid of the lordship of Christ and obedience to God's commandments. It's a grace that does not say, unless you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ, you cannot be his disciple. That is what's promoted. Widespread. This cheap grace that has led to the propagation of such sin, idolatry, blasphemy, homosexuality, abortion, and so many forms of evil and ungodliness in our culture that are even in the churches, even in ministers, God forbid, but even in ministers, the fake Calvinism movement is widespread with unbelievable accounts of adultery and sodomy and pedophilia. The wrath of God is upon them. Well, I could tell you hundreds of stories, tragically. It is this false doctrine, this cheap grace, it's a devil's grace, that tells people that God loves them unconditionally when they in fact deny, disobey, and despise Christ's authority and they rebel against his word and commandments. That's not saving grace, it's false grace. It's a devil's lie. But this theology of cheap grace is the ruin of the nation, the ruin of many churches, families, our society, that is just as perverse and wicked as the cults. Right? This is the theology of many churches today and denominations, whether they're Pentecostal, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Lutheran, Anglican, whatever. It's widespread in denominations because of what? Cowardice. And this is what Jude is talking about here in his letter. That's what he's opposing, rebuking, and warning the church against. Cheap grace from a false religion that he says will lead them straight to hell under the wrath of God. Just like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who were swept away in God's wrath, swallowed up by the earth, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. God comes in flaming fire, bringing vengeance upon that. That's why there's so little said in churches about Christ's sovereignty over civil government, or preaching against the sins of the nation, the idolatry of modern liberal democracy. Why? The fact is, there are many. They're under the wrath of God. They need to be warned, but they don't want to say it. Family members, friends, people in their church have people that are that way. And pastors are too cowardly to tell them the truth. This is widespread in conservative, evangelical, and reformed churches. They refuse to tell the truth about the way of salvation. That idolatry and false religion are snares to the gospel, to a real saving faith in Jesus Christ. Right? Paul says in Romans 1, when he begins his whole letter on the way of salvation, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, political ideologies, moral depravity, perversions, right? They need to be convicted of their sin and come to Christ in repentance. Otherwise, the wrath of God is still on them, abides on them. Liberals, neo-orthodox heretics, those who support abortion, the homosexual agenda, the platform of the demonic party of the left, or the political establishment. They're not saved. They're in bondage to sin, idolatry, and false religion. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10, Paul says, "Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And yet such were some of you, but you're washed, you're justified, you're sanctified. But don't be deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, they don't inherit the kingdom of God. They're still in the bondage of the devil. Whether it's false religion or whether it's political ideology, they're still in bondage of the devil, and they need to be convicted of their sin, come to repentance. Because they're abusing grace. They're misrepresenting grace. William Ames said, "The abusers of grace are the despisers of Christ and the purveyors of false religion." In Matthew 7, verse 13 and following, Jesus therefore says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and hard is the way that leads to life, and there are few that find it. Therefore, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." That is what Jude is warning about in his letter. False gospel, theology of cheap grace, false teachers, and there's no wonder, therefore, there's widespread apostasy and false religion that is born out of what? Cowardice, compromise, false doctrine. The false theology of cheap grace that is promoted by so many today is a snare of the devil, as well as an obstacle to biblical reformation. And tragically, it is gaining ground in reformed denominations and churches. It's widespread throughout the nation. Now, these are the first three reasons why cowardice has brought such a corrupting influence on the church, and why so many pastors and Christian leaders are silent about politics and moral issues. Why they're silent about preaching Christ's sovereignty over government and exposing the sin and idolatry of the nation and of the culture that we live in. And they often lie against the truth and say that, "Oh, they're evangelizing. They're preaching the gospel by centering on Christ." Well, let me tell you, the plain fact is nobody comes to saving faith in Christ and true repentance that does not repent of the sin, the idolatry, the wickedness, and the moral depravity of modern political ideologies that deny the gospel and the lordship of Christ. You cannot be a Christian and support the Democrats, abortion, the homosexual agenda, the demonic party of globalism and paganism, let alone the political establishment in Washington and the Roman and Catholic idolatry and the corruption that's there. You can't be a Christian. You have to come to repentance. You have to repent of sin, idolatry, and political ideologies that pervert the gospel and that deny the lordship of Jesus Christ. And this is all the more important because what? This coming month, the nation is going to be celebrating what? the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the vast majority of people have no clue what the resurrection of Jesus Christ actually means. And the claims of Christ's lordship over all. He's exalted the right hand of God the Father over all dominion, all power. He is the prince, the ruler over the kings of the earth. He holds the keys of death and hell. And the lives and the destiny of every individual is governed by his sovereignty. It's governed by him. Whether they're brought to faith in Christ and repentance and are led down the path of righteousness, or whether they are brought to hell under his judgment. Right? That's the testimony of Scripture as well as the letter of Jude. That's why Jude says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness and deny the only Lord God and the lordship of Jesus Christ." That's why we are to contend for the faith and preach the lordship of Christ, because there are so many that don't. Notice at the end of his letter in verses 20 through 22, notice Jude says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction." Maybe they're weak. Save them. But he says, "Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." That is the pursuit of godly reformation. That is the politics of reformation. That takes courage. Because truly, cowardice, as well as idolatry and false religion, are a corrupting influence in the church and a major obstacle to biblical reformation. Calvin therefore rightly said, "There can be no courage in men unless God supports them by his word and spirit." And truly, cowardice is the fruit of false doctrine and disobedience to God. That's what the letter of Jude teaches us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bless you and thank you for your word and for this exhortation from the Apostle Jude on the dangers of apostasy, the evil of false religion, the corrupting influences of cheap grace, those who corrupt the gospel and that deny the lordship of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, your blessing upon us. Sanctify our hearts in the knowledge of the truth, that we not only believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his lordship over all, but we are willing to defend that in the preaching and teaching of the word, in our allegiance and our devotion to him for our spiritual blessing. We do pray that you would break the power of sin and idolatry in the churches widespread throughout the evangelical and reformed world, that pastors and Christian leaders would be faithful and with courage and boldness preach Christ's lordship and sovereignty for the reformation of the church, for the overthrow of sin and idolatry and wickedness in our society, to the glory and praise of your name. For Christ's sake, amen.